never miss another show. Stream us live or listen to past podcasts 24/7 at lvsportsnetwork.com. This is Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Q Myers, Scott Culbranson, back on the Silver and Black Today, Raider Nation Radio 920, that's right. Raider Nation's radio station, not show, not half of a show or an hour like some people do. No, we are your station all day, every day, Monday through Friday. Thanks for being back with us. And Q, by the way, we need some more Raider Nation crazies on the line. 702-365-9200 is the number. Get through, we call you. Also, we'll make sure that we get your name in. Raider fans always have colorful call-in names, Q.
Absolutely, as they should. You know what I mean? If you've ever been to a game, a Raider game, you see some colorful costumes, man. So those costumes got to be represented with a really good name as well.
They do, absolutely. But, you know, we've been talking about the defense a lot. That's kind of our theme for the week, if you will, because I really do think that the defense here, I think the offense is going to get theirs. I think the defense for the Raiders is going to have to shine through. My expectations are that they will, that they'll improve greatly and be good enough to get this team in a spot where they're looking at the playoffs. And if they can execute in both sides of the ball, they'll be able to do that. But one of the guys, you know, we've talked a lot about Malik Collins. Q and I are on that bandwagon. We talked about Nassib, Carl Nassib, who will be on the show tomorrow, by the way. So set your clocks. Make sure you're here. But one guy that I know everybody's waiting, Q, to take that next step is Maurice Hurst, right? And yep. I think there's data, Q. I think if you look at what happened last year, right, he started out incredibly slow. It was very disappointing. He had just 12 pressures in the first seven games for the Raiders last year. Fast forward, he had 26 in the last nine games. Okay, so he had that late season surge, which to me, you look at a bunch of different players. I did a little research last night. Imagine that, Scott studying. We look back at that. I had to study sometime in my life, right? I got through college without doing it.
That's real.
But you look at that. That's really it's an indication a guy's ready to make that third-year jump.
It is, and I'm excited to see what he could do because he's been a guy, like you mentioned, at times he shines, and he's played really, really well. But other times he just kind of disappears. And so, you know, you want to see that improvement. You want to see consistency. That's the C word that I'm looking for, consistency. If he could be consistent throughout the season and be that guy, you combine that with Malik Collins, who, again, a lot of people, I'm on Twitter all the time, and I'm like, hey, man, the guy that you guys are all sleeping on is Malik Collins. This dude had so many pressures for the Cowboys in 2019. Right. I mean, his pressures were up there near Aaron Donald-type numbers. Like, this is a real deal dude. He could absolutely get after it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And Rob Marinelli being there is also another reason to be excited about what you're going to see from that defensive line.
Well, Q, also, you're talking about Collins, right? You're talking about Nassib on the edge. You're talking about these guys next to him. Remember, that impacts. So you have a guy who's gained some confidence at the end in Maurice Hurst. And you look at it, you look at PFF numbers, right, which they have their pass rush win rate, right? The last 9 weeks of the season, it was Aaron Donald, Kenny Clark, Chris Jones, and Maurice Hurst. Now, again, consistency exactly. Consistency is everything in pro sports, actually in anything you do in life, by the way. But you have to be consistent with it, so you're absolutely right. But and again, he's not as athletic to me as a Grady Jarrett, but I think you might have that kind of breakout season for Maurice Hurst. I know I'm being overly optimistic, but I'm just thinking if that happens – if the presence of Collins and Nassib and these guys next to him, Hankins has another good year, and you're having the linebackers back there covering that middle of the field, and the back end holds its own, I'm telling you, in this division particularly, the Raiders have a great opportunity, and it's all an unknown, and we're in training camp, so we're all positive, but I like his chances.
I do too, And the thing about it, man, remember, Mo Hurst was a guy that a lot of people expected to be a first-round draft pick, a second round at best, at worst. I mean, you know, and so for the Raiders to get him in the fifth round, it was a steal. Now he's got to show why he was a steal. Because if he had gone in the first round or the second round, he'd be considered a bust right now. Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line.
No doubt.
Be considered a bust. He went in the fifth round. He's got another chance. Now he's got to take advantage of that opportunity.
No, absolutely. Coming up this hour, by the way, we're going to speak to Peter Guzman from the Las Vegas Latin Chamber of Commerce. He's also a committee member, the Community Benefits Committee for the Stadium Authority. The Stadium Authority kind of oversees Allegiant Stadium from the county's interest perspective. Peter's a friend of the show, good friend of mine. He's going to give us some insight to how that all went down. And because that's the thing, you know, the stadium, it's so anticlimactic because it's done. Everybody loves it. Everybody's sharing pictures of it. It's the coolest thing to look at, I think, in Las Vegas now at night. And I'm telling you, there's no way unless they coordinate off and they have police who won't let people near, you're going to have tailgaters this year.
I believe it. And, you know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, they're like, hey, I want to go take a picture in front of the stadium. Can we do that? And for all I know, sure. You know, now, like you said, if they have police out there and they have people, you know, saying you can't be out there, then no. But I have no doubt that people are going to try to be a part of that, you know, and be in that area, even though, you know, there's nothing going on inside the stadium.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I've seen a lot of people say that they're going to come to Vegas anyway and tailgate. And I believe them because Raider Nation, just to be in the vicinity of the stadium, they're going to want to do it. They're going to want to watch the game. I saw somebody said, hey, would you open up the lanai doors when they're playing and we can gather? The problem is, of course, they don't want you gathering. That's the problem. It's a great idea. They just want their team to hear them cheering for them. But I'm sure we'll have visuals of that all along. But it's going to be interesting because I think there's going to be lots of folks, Q, who come to Las Vegas throughout. And even though they can't come to the game, they're going to just want to be in the vicinity. And that's going to happen all over the country.
No doubt. Absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be interesting, man. With no fans in the stands, fans are going to find a way to be a part of the action. I mean, that's just bottom line. That's what fans do. Fans are short for fanatic, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to find a way to be a part of the action. And especially the very first year in Vegas, a lot of fans are going to want to be and feel like they're a part of that initial year.
No doubt about it. All right. We're going to go on the Raider Nation hotline. Listener hotline.
Let's
and
do it.
We're going out to One Nation Jeff, who's with Q and Scott here on Raider Nation Radio. What's up, Jeff?
What's up? Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to call in. You guys are talking about the defense, and I know there's been a lot of concern with all the new pieces on how long it's going to take for them to gel together. And I don't think enough people are talking about how Mayock has actually brought in some built-in chemistry and familiarity with players like Littleton and, our safety and Kwiatkowski and Amakamura and, you know, we've got, and, Muse and Mullen all on back end. You know, there's, they've got in the last 2 years they've been teammates with each other.
Well, and you have the Cowboy connection too, right? We talked about it yesterday, Q, after we listened to Jason Witten at the press conference, because you have Jeff Heath, you have Malik Collins, you have Jason Witten, you have Rod Marinelli as well.
Right. So there's a lot of built-in chemistry that I think will help, especially dealing with this COVID shortened off season. That I think will be ahead of the curve more than against it.
Yep. No, I think you're right. I think bringing in those veterans and filling some of those spots, because the Raiders in the past have brought in veterans to kind of fill holes. We saw that with even LaMarcus Joyner, who hasn't performed, I think, up to what people expected him to do, even though he's been playing somewhat out of position. But I think it's different with these guys. I think you look at the reasoning behind them. It wasn't just filling a hole. I mean, Littleton's 25 years old. He's getting to his prime of his career.
Right.
You have Heath, who's another guy guys who've been a role player. You have Kwiatkowski, who was ready to make the jump to be the guy, and so they went out and got him. So the difference is, because I know Raider fans got frustrated because instead of addressing key needs, they would just go out and sign a guy that was past his prime. We saw this at linebacker for the last 5 years, Q.
Vontaze Burfict, perfect example.
Yep.
You know, and I know he was a key piece. He was the guy that you could see the defense playing better while he was playing, but you knew after they signed him that he wasn't going to be playing a full 16 because he hadn't done it. I mean, he's just not available. I say it all the time. Your best ability is your availability, and he's never been available for a full 16 season. And so when he didn't do that, you saw the drop-off in the defense. The thing about it is a lot of times the Raiders brought in veterans, and they relied too heavily on them. You know, they expected them to be the answer instead of just maybe a bridge guy. Like Prince Amakimura, I think he's a good player, but I think he's going to be there to stabilize that position until a guy like Damon Arnette is ready to take over. Demarius Randall on the back end, I think he's going to be there until, you know, the Raiders have a nice young piece that they feel confident in. You know, there's multiple guys on this roster that are able to fill in roles, and the reason that they brought these veterans in are just to kind of stabilize that position and fill that gap. You know, similar to what happened last year with Trayvon Mullen, Gerrion Conley held that spot down, and even though he wasn't a veteran or whatever, he was the guy for the time being until Trayvon Mullen was ready to take over, and then he did.
Jeff, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you listening to Raider Nation Radio and listening to Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today. All right, we're going to go out now to our guest line, and we're going to bring in my good friend Peter Guzman from the Latin Chamber of Commerce here in Las Vegas, also a member on the Stadium Authority's Community Benefits Committee. Peter, how you doing, my friend?
Raiders. All day, every day.
I love it, man. You're pumped up, aren't you?
I am pumped up, man. You know, we need football, and I don't care how we see it, but we need some football. I'm pumped up about the Raiders. It feels like it was yesterday that we were down in Carson City testifying for this stadium, and now we have this beautiful, bad AZZ, which is AZ, stadium. And, my God, yes, it's exciting, and it's just awesome.
Peter, before we get into the stadium business and talk a little bit about your role and what we've seen and the work you and the committee have done on the overall project, first let's check in. I mean, clearly, you know, you're a guy who does so much here in the community, of course, with Latin-owned businesses at the forefront, but you really do things across the board. How's the business community? We know it's been hard for all of us, our neighbors, our friends. Many of them have lost work, lost jobs, lost businesses. What's the pulse now with things slowly opening up and things starting to look a little bit, I think, more on the optimistic side?
Yeah, as you know, because you and I are buddies, you know that at the Latin Chamber of Commerce, when somebody comes in, we ask them, how can we help you? We don't care if they're Latino, white, black, Asian, gay, straight, don't matter. Mm-hmm. We just ask how we can help you. And that's our mindset. Now, listen, the business community has been hurting. But as it opens more, businesses obviously doing more business. Ironically, the Latino business, you know, your restaurants, your landscaping, construction, they're all still doing pretty good. And they just want to be open. They just want to go back to business as usual or close to usual as possible. And I think that we're getting closer and closer to that each day.
That's great. And Peter, you know, one of the things, let's rewind a little bit, because you've been on our show before Raider Nation Radio was in existence. When the Raiders set out to build the stadium, of course, the past SB1, you talked about Carson City, it becomes law, the funding for the stadium happens via the hotel tax. And as part of that deal, what the public wanted was the opportunity for all sorts of folks to be involved in the process, meaning that as the stadium project got underway, they wanted to make sure that minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses, local businesses were involved in the contracting, the construction of the process, and then after the fact, people working at the stadium too. Give everybody just a short version of what your mission on the community benefits and on the committee was.
Yeah, and listen, let me just say, the Raiders have exceeded all of our desires. I mean, they have been an amazing corporate, responsible corporate partner in our community. There's no question about it. More than 12,000 men and women have worked on this project.
Wow.
That's a lot of jobs. You know, I know for a fact that there's more than 6.5 million work hours, and I think the recordable incident rate has been less than like 1%, if that, like 0.90. So it's amazing. Just world class on every front. As far as small business participation, which is exactly what we wanted, what we set out to do, they have exceeded the workforce utilization goal, which we set in place. They've exceeded it by more than 50%.
Wow.
I mean, that's unheard of. And that's important. That was important to us. Never thought we'd go, you know, exceed it by 50%.
Our you touch team, on the stadium and how great it is and how awesome it looks. But, I mean, now that it's there, now that it's up there, it's complete. And, you know, you just know at some point the fan base will be in there. Not this year, but at some point they will be. What are your thoughts if you drive by there and just check it out? Or just what is your initial thoughts?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear
you. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you got all the numbers, the 50% exceeding, right?
Yes, we did. Absolutely.
And that was so important. I want everybody to let that set in because that's the success of the project. It really is. Minority-owned, women-owned, small businesses, veteran-owned. I think Allegiant Stadium is going to leave a lasting impression. It's going to be an example for the world, for the rest of the country, to build new stadiums and to kind of have a template of what success means. And so I just wanted to get that out. Listen, everybody's driving by that stadium. It looks amazing. At night, it's killer. I mean, it's disappointing that we're not going to have a full house, it looks like, because of this COVID thing, and that's disappointing. But we're going to make the best of it, man. We know that we now have a stadium. It's not going anywhere, and so it's ours.
And, Peter, with this process, too, of making sure that local folks are involved in not only the construction and finish of Allegiant Stadium, but also after it opens for business for fans, whether it be concerts, football games, political rally, whatever it may be, what's the plan moving forward to make sure that local representation, that folks have jobs, of course, and are working and in this piece of property, which is really something that the taxpayers invested in?
Yeah, so the main vendor contract went to a company. It's already met with the locals. I think they've had two meetings. They're going to continue to have meetings. Obviously, COVID changed everything on a dime, and everybody kind of had to pivot. But they've already been having meetings with locals, and so I guarantee you that you're going to see nothing but locals working at the stadium and also owning concession stands. Now you're going to see partnerships. You're going to see that, and we're going to be able to report on that. Again, back to the template of success is what I'm calling Allegiant Stadium.
Well, and Peter, we're going to try to get some inside information out of you now without getting you in trouble, of course. But one of the questions we get all the time is, of course, around the stadium itself. We know they're closing down Hacienda, and they said that they might have vendors out there. They might all have vendors also in the field tray in the tailgate area, which I think is going to be sponsored by Modelo. Is that also going to be a place where local businesses, small businesses, will have an opportunity to go out there and serve Raider Nation?
You didn't hear this from me, but my understanding is that is the goal. That is what everybody's working on.
That's great.
As participation. I believe that's Mark Davis and Mark Dane's mentality and how they think. That's what they want. Every time I meet with them, that's what the discussion is.
Yeah, and I think that's to your point about meeting with them. I think that's the other thing to remember. It's not always visible because you guys are just working. But I think one of the things that the Raiders have really earned kudos from organizations like yourself and others is that that's what they're doing. They're doing things in the community. The Raiders have a long history of community activity and involvement, making sure that the right stakeholders are always in the room and talking with them. And you haven't had any different experience, have you?
I really haven't. I got to tell you, from the first trip that I went up to Oakland to actually meet with them up there, this organization is about as family-run mentality as you can get. It's all about local. It's all about, you know, the one-on-one the accessibility. I mean, it really is something to admire. And I've seen it since day one and continue to see it. Nothing has changed.
All right, so now, Peter, you have to give us, what's your prediction for the season? I know it's early in training camp, but you're always a positive guy. So tell me, what are the Raiders going to make the playoffs in 2020?
There's no question in my mind the Raiders are going to make the playoffs. They're going to have a great run and a lot to build on. And then when we open this stadium up with full crowd, the following year, we will. That will be our Super Bowl year. They're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, probably, because we're not going to be there in the house with them. But they are going to have a playoff run.
All right. Peter Guzman from the Latin Chamber of Commerce, a member of the Community Benefits Committee on the stadium.
Was that a good answer or what?
That was a good answer.
Perfect. Spot on.
I think it's spot on. I think that's what you want. You want optimism without unrealistic expectations. So it's good.
There you go, my friend.
Peter, man, it's always a pleasure, my friend. I appreciate you taking some time with us here on Raider Nation Radio.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for including me. Go Raiders.
And there you go. Peter Guzman, Latin Chamber of Commerce, the Raiders on the committee for the stadium, the community benefits. So good stuff. We're going to step aside, take a break. When we return to the magic of the airwaves that are Raider Nation Radio, Q and I will take your phone call, 702-365-9200. You're listening to the Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Q, you know what you got to do now?
I got to dance?
No. I taught you this last week. You got to slap the bass.
Oh, man. I'm still not up on game. Apparently, that's a part of a movie that I didn't know about.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a big movie guy.
Really?
My bad.
That's okay. We all have our thing.
I'm a big music guy. I'm just not a big movie guy. I will say, the more that you involve my government name on this show, my dad would be proud.
Yeah?
He'd be very proud.
That you
finally incorporated his name into my radio persona. Now, my mom is sitting back somewhere in Henderson thinking, when are you going to incorporate your first name that I worked so hard and so long on to come up with that you dumbed down to one letter, Q?
You want to tell people what your first name is?
Kiant.
Yes.
Q-I-A-N-T. Absolutely. And my mom is so proud of that name. And every time she shakes my head when she hears people call me Q. She doesn't call me Q.
Of course
she
doesn't.
To this day, she won't.
No way. No way. She gave me that name. Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
She's not going to call you by one letter.
And then my son's name is Keon Myers Jr., and we all call him Q. So there you go.
So when you're together, is it Q and Q Jr.?
It's just Q, and then we all look.
Okay. You just kind of figure out who they're talking to.
Yeah, exactly. Most of the time, they're talking to him, but I want to act like they're talking to me.
But that's funny because the first time, so when I saw your full name for the first time, I think it was because you shared an email address with me.
Yep.
I immediately said, okay, I got to figure this out, right? You know, because it's a challenge. But it just popped in my head, Louis Tiant, the pitcher, right? From the Red Sox, Cuban pitcher. My wife's Cuban, so I know all the Cuban ball players. And it was spelled Tiant, so I'm like, Keon, Q. You know, how do you pronounce Q?
Yeah. Right?
In a name, most of the time it's going to be that way. So I was like, and then I remember telling you the first time, I'm like, yeah, you got it. I'm like, yeah, I got it. So I'm with your
mom. There you go.
That's right.
And you know what? Our good buddy, Christopher Gabriel, mm-hmm. who works up in Fresno, California on the radio and ESPN, he calls me by my first name whenever he interviews me on the air, but he's the only person.
Yeah, he started calling me the king, and I'm like, don't call me that. I don't deserve that title because we talked about Elvis or something like that. But Chris is good people.
Yeah.
And by the way, good people, call us on the listener line, 702-365-9200. Tell us what you think. Our debate of the day, which we have up on the Sided app, but the debate of the day was about Charlie Casserly's point about the Raiders, saying the Raiders will tie, basically, for last in the division. He said maybe at the end there with the Broncos. And that they would not make the playoffs yet. That was basically what he said. So we ran the poll. We asked, Four options for you. Win the division. They'll finish second and grab a wild card, the Raiders. Finish third, or Charlie's right, and they're going to finish fourth. And the winner is finish second and grab a wild card. Almost 40% of respondents. Second was they're going to finish last. So I think Raider fans are so shell-shocked over the over the last 20 years, and I don't blame them, so I understand where it's going. But Christopher Moreno, one of our listeners on the debate, said, "I don't see the Chargers or Broncos as better than the Raiders. Carr has to prove he can lead." So he agrees with you on the Chargers and the Broncos.
Right, exactly. I just don't see how you could put the Broncos ahead of the Raiders right now. They have a lot more that's unproven. And I know they got some good defensive pieces and they got some nice weapons on offense, but the guy pulling the trigger is Drew Lock. You still don't know. He's only five games into his career, so you don't exactly know what he's going to be. So I don't see where they could be favored or even talked about as better than the Raiders. And the Chargers, I'll tell you, I know that their defense is solid, but how many years do we say this is going to be the year the Chargers make a deep run, and then all of a sudden they find a way to charger it all up?
That's right. I mean, they get picked to win the division. They pick second in the division, and they end up choking, right? So I think—
Exactly.
I agree. I think the Broncos will finish ahead of the Chargers. I really do. Because it all depends on the quarterback, right? You have to have good quarterback play. So to your point, I think if Von Miller is Von Miller again, then they suddenly have a better defense. It's aged a little bit, it's changed a little bit, but I think actually that they'll be better than the Chargers, because I think the Chargers have so many question marks, despite what people in LA think, or at least the three of them that care down there.
I mean, can Austin Eckler, is he going to carry the load from the running back position? They don't have Melvin Gordon as well now.
Right.
You know, is Hunter Henry fully recovered? Is he going to be the go-to guy for Tyrod Taylor? Is Keenan Allen going to stay healthy? I mean, there's so many questions. The offensive line, they got questions on the offensive line. I mean, I could go up and down their roster and pick out the issues that they have, and no one's really proven that they're going to be a solid squad. And like I said, every year, there, you can make an argument that they're going to be really good, and every year they end up finding a way to, well, like I said before, charger it up.
Yes, as I call them, the Chargers of El Toro, Santa Ana. I mean, they've had so many spots they wanted to land. But anyway, we are going to also go out on the phone line because we got callers again, Q.
That's right.
And I don't
sound off, Raider Nation, sound off.
I don't know what name they're going to call you by. Hopefully it's clean. But we're going out now on the Raider Nation hotline here on the Silver and Black today, and we're bringing in Chris. Chris, where are you calling from?
Chris, this is Chris. I'm actually calling from San Diego. I'm out here for work right now.
What part of San Diego are you in?
I'm actually downtown. Nice. I'm literally looking out at the water on the bay and whatnot. So
wow.
Pretty nice. Pretty nice.
So what do you got for us, man? Drop some knowledge.
First off, real quick, I had to say what's up to my boy Q there. This is Bourbon Raider on Twitter.
Hey!
What's up, guys? Congrats,
what's up, homeboy?
Congrats on everything. I'm loving the show, you guys, and wow, it's like surreal.
Having your own station, right, man?
It's amazing. I love it. I love it. Talking with what you guys were just talking about, I definitely am one of the ones that believes we're going to be second place with the wild card. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about the defense, I'm super excited about Krakowski. I've actually got some buddies of mine that are Bears fans, and they were super bummed that they lost Krakowski. So mm-hmm. I'm super excited that we picked him up.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's a masher, Chris. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, you sit him in front of a TV camera and he's sort of quiet, but when you get him on the field and you see him put in the time and the effort and his on his craft, I mean, that's why he got the green dot, right? Is because he is so good. And we talked about it yesterday with Ted Nguyen from The Athletic about Paul Gunther's defense and the technical nature and the heady play that you need. Nick Kwiatkowski's that guy. He's the guy who keeps it all together. Again, you might find somebody who might be a little better physical athlete than him, but that's not always what matters.
You're right. Absolutely. And just having him and, you know, Littleton there together is going to be insane.
No doubt about it. Chris, enjoy San Diego, man. Thank you, Bourbon Raider, for your call, and we'll talk to you next time, brother.
Absolutely. You guys take care.
You too.
Pour it up. Your name is Bourbon Raider, man. You got to be pouring it up.
That's right, and it's got to be neat. None of those cubes, man.
That's
gotta
right.
Have it neat. That's the only way to drink it, in my view. But anyway, by the way, Bleacher Report, they did a list queue of all the biggest areas of liability for NFL teams, right? And for the Raiders, what do you think it was? No, it wasn't quarterback, much to the chagrin of some of the people out there who can't get off that subject.
I would probably say it's linebacker because they're ill-informed.
They say it's pass rush. But you know what? But that's the thing. That's the misnomer with pass rush. You have to have it up front, but also they all work together, right? Up front, the middle, the back end of the defense. You have to have all those pieces in play, and they all help one another.
And I should have known that because, again, they got a lot of pieces right now that aren't 100% proven. Max Crosby's, you know, shown what he could do. But Cleve Ferrell, there's still the question out on him. Nassib, of course, he's been consistent the last couple of years, six and a half sacks a year with Tampa Bay. But again, the middle of that defensive line has got to be more pressure, more solid. It's just got to be up there.
But their statement here is that the Raiders didn't upgrade their pass rush with the exception of Carl Nassib.
Well, they're looking at the defensive ends. You know what I mean? They're looking at the edge rushers. They're not looking at the defensive line, the middle of it, the D tackles, which are really, really important, and it makes the defensive ends that much better.
Right. No doubt about it. I think that's the thing, and we'll talk to Carl Nassib tomorrow about it and find out sort of what his take. It's going to be an interesting conversation because coming the stops he's been, right, Cleveland and then Tampa Bay, to talk to him about what his experience has been with the Raiders thus far in this weird, weird offseason. But the sense that I get just in when you hear those guys talk, especially on the defensive side of the ball, is all that praise towards the coaching. Okay, of course, Marinelli there and what he's able to do and what a fantastic coach he is, coupled with Paul Gunther and then, of course, the addition of the teammates there. Q, I like that makeup, and I think the leadership matters, right? Our good friend Vinny Bonsignor, who comes on next on In the Huddle, who's going to be on here in just a few minutes, he always uses the word, which I used from my business side of my life, which is culture, right? And changing the culture and making sure the culture is always what you want it to be, because that sets the tone. And I think by bringing in a Marinelli, by bringing in the players they brought in, they have changed that defensive culture, and you'll start to see how that impacts the game day decisions and play of that defense.
I agree 100%. And really, if you want to keep talking about culture, the whole team's culture has changed. You know, ever since Gruden came back in 2018, he's worked on changing that culture. And it's so funny because that's always a word that every coach and every organization uses as soon as they get the job. Got to change the culture. The culture here is not what it needs to be. It's so overused, but in the Raiders' case, it was necessary. It was something that had to be overhauled, and they've done a really good job of that. You mentioned defensively, spot on. But I look at the whole overall, the whole team, and the chemistry and the continuity and the culture have all changed.
They have, absolutely. And that's where now you want to see it on the field, right? And I think that's where you're seeing.
And that's credit to Mark Davis and Mark Bedain as well.
Good point. Yeah, ownership and leadership at the top of the organization. There's no question about that. And I think, too, I sense something different, Q. I don't know, you know, because you talk to so many people, too, especially Raiders fans. I just sense a different type of optimism from fans. Every year that I've covered the Raiders since I started this thing, I have people who always tell me they're going to win the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter if they had a CFL team out there, they thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. But this year I sense a guarded, optimistic, but future-looking kind of attitude from fans. And I think that's different. I feel a difference there. And maybe it's a little bit of not only the moves that they've made, of course they've gotten better, but also the move, right? A lot of people struggled with it. A lot of people now, I think, have moved from not liking the move to acceptance and now to actually loving the move as they've seen the facilities and what that means for the Raiders going out and getting free agents and being prepared for gameplay. And then, of course, the stadium, the jewel, the Mojave right here that allows people to say, hey, we finally have a home.
Right, exactly. And look, I'm that guy that you described. I'm the guy who didn't want to see them leave the Bay Area. You know, I'm a Bay Area guy. I'm an Oakland guy through and through. I didn't want to see them leave, but I get it. And it took me a while to come to this conclusion that this was a good idea. Now they leave the Bay Area where they were just, you know, part of the rat race out there. You know, they were competing for coverage. People weren't even talking about the Raiders. Even when they were really good, they were hardly talking about them. So now they go to Vegas, and we've talked about this a few times. Now they're a big fish in a smaller pond. They're the big show in town. They have this beautiful stadium that puts them into the current landscape of the NFL. It brings them up to speed into 2020. You know, it's like they got that brand new car off the showroom floor. That's their stadium. You know what I mean? They went from that bucket that they used to have to hope was going to start when they got outside and tried to open or start it. And now it's the most beautiful thing ever. And so, yeah, they have a lot of things going in their favor right now. And this year just feels different. I feel like when John Gruden took over in 2018, the goal was always to be a really good team entering their very first year in Vegas. And that's what they're doing now.
They are. All right. Well, we're going to take our final break.
No.
No, we're just going to go. We're going to roll.
That's right. Vinny don't mind.
No, Vinny will let us take his 2 hours. We'll just do a telethon. We'll just do a telethon version and just go for 12 hours. By the way, a lot of people, Q, I don't know if you've seen this at night because I tend to get back on Twitter late at night after I finish some work. A lot of people saying, hey, I'm listening to Raider Nation Radio and they're talking about baseball. Yes, it goes from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. So you start with the morning show with Pritch and Clay. Great morning show, 3 hours there. Then from 12 to 2, the legend JT the Brick. Then you have us, 2 to 4. And then you have Vinny from 4 to 6. So listen, you're going 11 hours where you're getting solid, solid Raiders coverage. And one day, just maybe one day, it'll go 24 hours, but we'll see. I can imagine Raider Nation calls in the middle of the night. They'd be hysterical and just fantastic, I'm sure. All right, we'll step aside. When we come back from the break, we're going to do our normal handoff to Vinny Bonsignor, who hosts In the Huddle next. He's got a stocked show today with a bunch of guests, and we'll talk to him about that. We'll also ask him, we'll prime him for information. He's a big insider, so we're going to try to get you what we can on the latest out of Raiders camp. You're listening to Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Here we are back, Silver and Black today, the home stretch. Thank you to all our callers today, by the way. Great callers calling in.
Yes.
At 702-365-9200. And just a recap, some great guests, Therese. My God, I just blanked.
Paler.
Therese was on the show, Therese Paler, and Therese talked with us about college football and all of that jazz and what it means for NFL scouts and what it means for the Raiders and how it impacts what next year's draft. Basically, to put a summation to what he said, what Therese said, was it's just going to be a big gamble. The better your scouting department, the more you've resourced it, good, but you're going to be watching some film that's 2 years old if nothing changes. So it will be interesting. Although we still keep hearing SEC, ACC, some of the independents may end up playing some football. Whether you agree with that or not, that's what they're trying to do. We'll see if it ends up bearing that way. We also learned Q's full first name.
That's the most important part of the whole show.
Exactly. And if you missed it, then you can download this show tonight. We'll get it up so you can see it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts. We put the show up by hour, and usually we pull out the interviews as well. So if you want to know what Q's full first name is, you're going to have to go download that file. Just the way.
Well, if you're going to send me a paycheck, I'll tell you what it is right now. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to fill out a pay to the order of,
there you go.
I will definitely tell you right now.
Quintonius.
Oh, there's Vinny. Vinny Bonsignor.
If I can cash a check, I'll call myself that.
Exactly.
There's Vinny who's
call me shows, whatever you want. Just send the check.
Yes. You
exactly.
Yes, absolutely. And which we get on YouTube, right? People drop us a little money here and there when we're doing our YouTube live shows. It's pretty funny. But we appreciate that, obviously, very much. So, Vinny.
Yes.
We're getting ready. It's starting to ramp up a little bit here. We're going to have some real football, so to speak, at least under our circumstances next week, right? They're going to put some pads on next week.
Yeah, but tomorrow is going to be a big day as well.
Yes.
Tomorrow is it begins the ramp up period, the 4 days of 2 days in helmets and then 4 days in helmets with shells, which are your shoulder pads. The important aspect is they're going to be playing football and everyone can touch the football. From what I understand, there's some 11 on 11 allowed, 9 on 11, 7 on 7. So you're going to get to see matchups. You're going to get to see guys working against each other. You're going to get to see one against one, two against two. Just, I know it's just in shorts, but there are things to be gleaned from all of that. And that begins tomorrow. So it's a long time coming. To put it on in, all into perspective, tomorrow was supposed to be the day that the Raiders had a light practice, got an airplane and flew to Seattle to play the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday to open their preseason. That's the way the world was supposed to look a few months ago, but obviously everything has changed and gotten turned on its head, and as a result, they haven't even gotten in their pads yet. That happens next week, so that's how far behind we are right now in the whole process.
Have you heard more about, like, so we're seeing all these pictures coming out of camp because the Raiders have been very, very good with the photography and putting things out for the fans to see. And they're wearing masks, right? They're doing what they're supposed to be doing and doing that. When they put the helmets on, though, the masks come off.
Yeah.
Have you heard any more about any sort of shields or devices that they're going to be using to try to help mitigate anything?
You know, I know that they were looking into that. We'll find out if, you know, it has to pass all sorts of tests and it has to be okayed by the NFL, by the Players Association. To my knowledge, that hasn't happened yet. But when they put their helmets on in a couple of days, probably tomorrow, hopefully, we're going to see. And I don't think so. I don't know. It would be difficult, playing high school football. I know it was just high school football, but to think of having, you know, your face mask plus another device in front of it, I don't know. That might be difficult, especially for quarterbacks and wide receivers who are tracking footballs in the air. It doesn't seem feasible.
No, it really doesn't. And Vinny, let me ask you this question, because you mentioned the fact that they're going to put the pads on the 17th. John Gruden let that be known that that's his birthday. But they have, 14 padded practices? How much can you get accomplished as far as preparation for an upcoming season in only 14 padded practices?
Well, a lot of your installation has already happened, mentally at least, and going through the walkthroughs. And walkthroughs are pretty important. Sean McVay used to always call it above the shoulders work, and which is hugely important, especially nowadays where it's such a battle of attrition that you're going way more lighter than you ever did before in terms of the physicality and everything. But yeah, it's not much. It's not a lot of time to get the pads on, and especially for evaluation process. I think the offense should be okay because you have such carryover from last year. Yeah, you're bringing in Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards and Lynn Bowden Jr. and all of those guys will have some sort of a role. Some guys bigger than others. I'm sure Ruggs' role is going to be bigger right off the bat, but otherwise it's a pretty experienced offense. So that unit to me should hit the ground running. I don't think they're going to miss a beat, even with just 14 practices. It's the defense that we have to be concerned about, because there's so many new faces, at least seven new starters, a bunch of young players that they're bringing in, some reserves that they were playing on other teams last year. It's going to be a challenge to get that up and running. A new leader, a new guy that's calling your defense in Nick Kwiatkowski. So that's going to be the big challenge, which puts it right back on the offense to carry the load for those first couple of games. They might have to win some shootouts. That's just the reality of the situation until the defense gets it together. So I'm looking at the offense to kind of win the day these first couple of weeks to start the season, to buy the defense time to catch up.
So what do you hear? Any movement, player movement you're hearing about? Anything coming up that is imminent for the Raiders or in the division that might impact the race?
No, not anything that I'm hearing. I think teams are just anxious to see what they have finally. Yeah. And in a real sense, it was one thing to talk to guys on Zoom and, understand where they were mentally. It's another thing when they got into the building to visually see them physically. It's another thing over the last 8 days to get them out there in the weight room, and conditioning work and get them up to speed as much as you possibly can. I don't think that that's – I think that's a challenge too. I don't think anyone's where they should be physically right now. It's just not possible given everything that they lost during the offseason. That's one thing. And then it's going to be another thing tomorrow in the next 3 days in terms of that ramp up. But I think more than anything, everyone wants to see what do we have over those 14 days of where you could put the pads on and get after it a little bit to get a sense of where you are as a football team.
Well, and Vinny, this team too, you talked about the offense and you look at the wide receiver position. And there's some guys there. We had a couple calls yesterday about one of them, and I want to get your take on it. Zay Jones. Mm-hmm. Zay Jones, you saw working out with Derek Carr, the very earliest player of all working out with him at the park here in town. And he seems to have really focused on doing what he can next step. I say it's hard for him to probably make this team, but could he be perhaps a trade candidate? Or do you think he might be in the mix and that anything can happen and he can make the squad?
I think he certainly is in the mix. And I think that, you know, you go back to last year, he was traded for in midseason. That's just really, really difficult for a wide receiver and quarterback to get it going on the fly. And I don't necessarily think that he was playing the position that he should have been playing last year. There were some holes and some injuries that he had to account for and move around as a result of that. So I think he's gotten an offseason. Yes, it's not the kind of normal offseason that it is, but he was out there, like you mentioned, with Derek Carr, getting a lot of work in at the local parks. So just being able to get on the field in that respect and now have what's considered this year anyway, a full training camp, I think will help him. And, you know, the good news for the Raiders is he's not expected to start, right? Right. You're not asking him to come in there and catch 90 balls or whatever the case might be as a starter you would want. But as a reserve, as somebody that you tap into, should somebody get hurt or if you have a specific package, you know, to develop around him, that's not a bad option to have for depth.
Absolutely.
And depth is going to be – this is another reason why I think he makes the team. When you talk about what we're up against with COVID-19 and the great unknown of where it's going to take your roster in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you better have as many experienced players and capable players and NFL-ready players as you possibly can. I don't see guys like that getting kicked out the building anytime soon because you're gonna need to rely on guys through the course of this year.
All right, Vinny, go ahead, Q.
Speaking of depth real quick, let me just go ahead and pass this news on to you. The Jags have just signed Josh Moreau, the guy who played defensive end for the Raiders last year. Yep. Just signed him.
Oh, nice. Vinny, before we let you go,
yes,
tell us what's coming up on the show.
Well, we've got a jam-packed show, as they say, but it's a news day today. I mean, I don't think 5 months ago, if you had told me that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 would have to be in a position to cancel the football season this year or postpone it, I would have said you were crazy. But there were a lot of decisions and a lack of leadership over these last 5 months, especially out of the gate when we were dealing with this pandemic, that has put us in this position. And I have Max Kellerman coming on from First Take. He's going to talk about it. We're also going to take a look into the process of getting the Raiders here to Las Vegas and the Rams and Chargers to Los Angeles, talking to Eric Grubman from formerly of the NFL, who is front and center with that. Kirk Morrison's going to come on.
Yeah.
And Pete Sampson, he covers the Notre Dame for the Athletic.
Irish.
Yeah, exactly. And they're in a whole other situation.
Yes.
They're independent, but they're also part of the AECC, so they live to see another day. At least one more day.
That's
anyway. We'll see where that goes. Yeah.
Make sure you tune in next to Vinny Bonsignore. Q, thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. And Vinny, have a great show.
Thank you, brother.
Tomorrow, Carl Nassib, Dr. Michael Olasco from BU on CTE.